Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Title of our message today is, If My People. Let's begin with a word of encouragement from the book of Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10, where we find these encouraging words, Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. It's good to know that our Lord can take care of us. If you would, 2 Chronicles chapter 7, and we'll begin reading at verse 12 down through verse 16. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer, and have chosen this place to myself for an house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven, that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and mine ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and mine heart shall be there perpetually. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we come thanking you again for yet another opportunity to share the Word of God amongst your people. And Lord, we thank those who have tuned in this morning and those who will be listening later on different areas. Lord, we just pray that you would touch each heart according to your will. Lord, we pray again for those people that we have in our church and friends that we know that are working on the front line, as it's being called today. Lord, we thank you that they have been willing and that, Lord, that you would keep them safe. And Lord, now we just ask again your blessings from your holy word. And we ask this in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen. But let me try to give you some thoughts to bring this verse into context. David, while he was king of Israel, desired to build the Lord a house of worship. But the Lord denied him that privilege, calling him a man of war. But he would allow his son to build a house of worship. Once David died and Solomon prepared to build the temple, though he felt very unworthy. Let's note, if you would, 2 Chronicles chapter 2. Just turn back a couple of pages. 2 Chronicles chapter 2, and we'll begin reading at verse 5. And Solomon says, And the house which I build is great, for great is our God above all gods. But who is able to build him a house, seeing the heaven and heaven of heavens cannot contain him? Who am I then that I should build him a house, save only to burn a sacrifice before him? Now the temple is built. The Ark of the Covenant is going to be brought in. And the glory of the Lord fills the house. Now, I don't know if there are going to be video replays in heaven of some of the things that have happened on earth. I don't know. But if there is, this would be an exciting thing to watch. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, if you would, please. And we'll read verses 13 and 14. 2 Chronicles 5, 13 and 14. And it came to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Now, that would have to be exciting, that the glory of the Lord was seen in such a way that they could not even stand before him. In 2 Chronicles chapter 6, we find the sermon of Solomon and a prayer of dedication. And we'll read verses 7 through 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, beginning at verse 7. But I have chosen Jerusalem that my name might be there, and have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of David, my father, to build an house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. But the Lord said to David, my father, for as much as it was in thine heart to build an house for my name, thou didst well in that it was in thine heart. Notwithstanding, thou shalt not build the house, but thy son, which shall come forth out of thy loins, he shall build the house for my name. The Lord therefore hath performed his word that he hath spoken, for I am risen up in the room of David my father, and am set on the throne of Israel, as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God of Israel. And in it have I put the ark, wherein is the covenant of the Lord that he made with the children of Israel. Let's read verse 14a. And said, O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in the heaven, nor in the earth. I know, and we'll be reading a little bit more from this in just a moment, I know that there are many who say, well, there are many ways to get to heaven. But God has chosen a way, the right way. He hasn't said, well, we're going to have one way for this group of people or one way for that group of people. No, he has one way. And that way was through God himself, Jesus Christ. And he has prepared a temple, or had a temple prepared, so that they could worship him. Let's read verse 18. But with God in every deed dwell the men of earth. Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, how much less this house which I have built. Again and again, Solomon talks of Israel sinning against the Lord. In 36a, he says, if they sin against thee, for there is no man which sinneth not, please forgive. Have you prayed for forgiveness today? You say, well, I'm a born-again believer. I know that many that are watching today are. But every one of us must ask God to forgive, because we want a right relationship with the Lord. And the fact is that if we're going to ask for forgiveness, there are times we just need to change our habits and our lifestyle. Chapter 7. Divine acceptance. Chapter 7. Now when Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. All that had to be exciting. They had offered sacrifices to the Lord. And may I say this, I'm glad that we no longer have to do those sacrifices, and that Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. But at that point, they were still offering sacrifices. And we are so glad that when they did, that the glory of the Lord came down. So we find point number one, the Lord Jehovah appeared to Solomon. We find that in our text in verse 12, and he says, I have heard thy prayer. May I say this, prayer is important. He also says, I have chosen this temple for formal worship. Now, Solomon made it clear that God being God, the heavens even cannot contain him. He says his right hand spanneth the universe. So he is an awesome God. In verse 13, notwithstanding the festivities of recent days with the coronation of the temple, if God chose to bring judgment upon the land, he promises something. Now, if we were to look at 1 Kings chapter 9, and we're going to turn there in just a moment, 1 Kings chapter 9, verses 6 through 9, we see that it covers the same period of time as we have read here in 2 Chronicles 6 and 7. It's the same period, it's just in the kings. And in fact, let's turn there to 1 Kings and chapter 9, and we'll read verses 6 through 9. If the Lord chose to bring judgment upon the land, so why would he bring judgment upon the land? Well, let's look at verse 6. But if ye shall at all turn from following me, ye or your children, and will not keep my commandments and my statutes, which I have set before you, but go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I cut off Israel out of the land which I have given them, and this house which I have hallowed for my name will I cast out of my sight, and Israel shall be a proverb and a byword among all people. At this house which is high, everyone that passeth by it shall be astonished and shall hiss, and they shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and to this house? And they shall answer, because they forsook the Lord their God, who brought forth their fathers out of the land of Egypt, and have taken hold upon other gods, and have worshipped them and served them. Therefore hath the Lord brought upon them all this evil. You know, there are many who believe that the Lord brought America into existence for his honor and for his glory. And through America, many hundreds and thousands of souls have been saved, both by the preaching of the gospel here in this great land, but in the sending forth of the gospel by missionaries and by churches sending them financially. And we have forsaken him. And he has maybe brought this judgment upon us because of our unwillingness to continue to serve him faithfully. Notwithstanding, you know, there were great days right then. The temple had been built. There were great things happening there in Israel. They were a mighty power. And he says, if I bring these on you. So now we come to verse 14. We find here the great outline for forgiveness and blessings. If my people. What an honor it is for the Lord to declare you as part of his people. Now you ponder this. We are part of the United States of America. But may I say this, as great as the United States of America is, God does not stand when the national anthem is being played. We are blessed by him, and we are his people, and he wants to use us. And we should never forget that. If my people, which are called by my name. Have you ever been embarrassed by something that an American has done? Maybe in a foreign field or foreign country. Have you ever been bothered by what some American has done here in our country that has offended someone from another part of the world? I'm sure that we've all been offended at one time or another. The fact of the matter is this. We offend God regularly. We sin. How many of us are willing to be known as a born-again believer? How many of us are willing to stand up for the Lord? How many of us are willing, well, to pray out in a picnic, hopefully soon in restaurants? Are we willing to bow our head and thank the Lord for his blessings, or are we embarrassed? We should not be embarrassed. We should count it a privilege. Though this was directed originally to the children of Israel, the born-again believer, according to 1 Corinthians 6:20, is the Lord's. It says, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. If we know Christ as our Savior, our souls have been purchased. They've been ransomed. They've been redeemed. We are His. We are called by His name. In fact, the word Christian means Christ-like. And not everyone who is called a Christian is truly Christ-like. Let me read to you from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6, verses 14 and 15. Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And if we're God's, then we need to live right, proper lives. Beginning, verse 14. Ye shall not go after other gods, of the gods of the people which are round about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you, lest the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God. He's a jealous God. He does not want us to serve other gods. Now, I know we don't have the same idols that they served then, but we have put many things in front of our Lord. And when we put other things in front of our Lord, they become an idol. And we are not to do that. If the people of the Lord want to once again receive the blessings of the Lord, they must follow these four conditions that we find here in verse 14. And let me say, I think also our country, if we want to be healed, we need to repent as a country, as a nation. We need to give up the idea of humanism that, well, we can do whatever we want as long as we're not hurting somebody. That is not right. Sin is sin, and it is always wrong. Four things. We need to humble ourselves, we need to pray, we need to seek God's face, and we need to turn from our sinful ways. So they were, according to this verse, humble themselves. They were to return to God and give God the position He deserves. He deserves certain recognition. He is, after all, the God. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the creator of the universe. And He deserves our honor and praise. Man was created to bring honor and praise to the Lord. Not so that we would have a great retirement fund, and that's a nice thing. Not so that we would have great jobs, though that is good. But we are to bring honor and glory to our Lord and Savior. We are to pray. We are to be earnest and contrite in spirit, not demanding, not begging, but coming before Him, repenting, praising, honoring. And this is something that He requires, that we humble ourselves, that we pray, that we seek God's face. I like Psalm chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. We are to seek Him. See, I believe this. God wants us to worship on the Lord's day. He wants us to come together. Now, this is the medium that we're using right now. But shortly, we should be able to come back and start serving the Lord faithfully on Sundays. And I realize that some things would be different, and we would probably begin with just one service on Sunday morning at probably at 10 o'clock. And it will be there, that point. We'll meet in the main auditorium, and we won't pass an offering plate, but we'll put a box at the back where offerings can be given. And worship will be different, but it'll be good to get back together again. To worship Him, to seek Him, and then turn from their sins. In other words, repent. Repent. How important it is that we are willing to repent. Oh, but it's so hard to repent, you say. It's so hard to change. I believe it. It is hard. Something gets into our life and gains control, and we become comfortable, and we say, well, I like it. It's kind of like getting rid of that old flannel shirt that is falling apart, but it just feels so good. Sometimes you just have to get rid of it. And with sin, it's a must. So when we do these things, God promises to do something. He will hear our prayers. He will forgive our sins. He will heal our lands. So when we humble ourselves, He will hear our prayers. When we humble ourselves, He will forgive our sins. When we humble ourselves, He will heal our land. But many people don't like that word humble. They think it makes them sound weak. But it doesn't. It takes a lot of courage to humble yourself. Dr. David Sorensen writes, though this promise was made specifically to Israel, the principle, however, surely applies to any people or church of any age, unquote. Our Lord wants to forgive. He loves us, and He wants to forgive. But remember this, though He is a God of love, He is a holy God. He is a just God. And if sins are not paid for, and He says, oh, well, that's all right, He no longer is God. He'd be like us. Do we really want God to be like us? No. So we must be willing to humble ourselves. Which brings us to our conclusion. Divine forgiveness is an essential part of our salvation. Do you like that word essential? We hear an awful lot today, people who are essential and essential businesses. Now, I find it interesting that it is essential that the state of Michigan still sells marijuana. I must admit, I'm confused. It is essential that the bottle shops are open so that people can still buy their whiskey and wine and vodka, etc. These things seemingly are essential. But for our salvation, forgiveness is essential. The word forgiveness means to discharge, to dismiss, to acquit, to loose from, to release from a debt or sin. To pardon, to forgive. I like this thought. Forgiveness also implies giving up an inward feeling of injury or resentment, the removal of a feeling of anger, and putting in its place favor and affection. Sometimes it's very hard to forgive, especially if the one you're forgiving, you've forgiven them for that very same act again and again and again. But don't we expect our Lord to forgive us over and over again? Well, the fact of the matter is we do. Herbert Lockyer writes, all men have need to join in the prayer, forgive us our debts or trespasses, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For all have broken His law and therefore require forgiveness if fellowship with Him is to be restored. Unquote. All have sinned. And yet we realize that the Lord, because He is willing to forgive, is willing to save. John 11:25, Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Last Monday, I had to do the funeral for George Farmer, and we will miss him. I know my dad will miss him greatly because George would pick him up monthly and take him to meet with some of the men who were in Korea and they could talk about old days, and Dad really appreciated George and really has struggled with his death. But one thing about having the funeral for a born-again believer is that there is hope, because George had been forgiven. He believed on the Lord. He had told me he was ready. John 1:12 says, "As many as receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." As many as receive him. Those who are willing to follow him according to his will, according to his plan. Not some man-made plan, but his plan. There are plenty of man-made religions. There are plenty of religions that are striving to try to get man on a good relationship with the creator of the universe. But we'll find in a moment in John chapter 14, and you may want to turn there, but he tells us, "I am the way." He's the only way. So if you would, turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. As you're turning there, let me read to you another verse from a couple of verses from the book of John, chapter 8, verses 31 and 32. "Then said Jesus, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Too many people today are not following the truth. They would rather believe a lie. They feel comfortable with the lie. And thus, they will never know the Lord, because they would rather believe a lie. But do you have John chapter 14? If you have, raise your hand. I see those hands. Yes. John chapter 14, beginning at verse 1. Christ is getting close to the time in which he will be arrested. He will be put through trial after trial. He will be beaten. He will be scourged. He will have to carry his cross, and he will be crucified. But he says to his disciples in chapter 14, verse 1, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know." Thomas saith unto him, "Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Jesus saith unto him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." I don't know the spiritual condition of some of you today. If you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, he wants to forgive you. He wants to heal you spiritually. He wants you to spend eternity with him. But the choice is yours. And if you have accepted him as your Savior, have you given him first place? Have you offered him that place that he deserves? I do hope so. Shall we close in prayer? Dear Heavenly Father, again, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for these words that we've been able to read today. Lord, we hope that they were of encouragement. And Lord, we look forward to the time in which we could gather together again at our church. And Lord, we pray now you would bless in Jesus' name and with thanksgiving. Amen.